digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
The Justice Department is investigating the Jonas Hodges car bombing.
I changed my mind. I didn't transfer the funds. Why would he go ahead and kill Hodges if he wasn't paid?
Because it's what you wanted, am I right?
Jack, I unlocked Tony's location data.
Okay, we've got him.
Jack forces Tony's vehicle off the road.
Where's the canister? Move! I'm not gonna stop until you tell me where it is.
Jack runs with the canister and throws it into the isolation chamber where it explodes harmlessly.
Jack. It's all right, it's all right.
You need to give yourself a shot.
I already did 20 minutes ago. It's not working.
You heading home?
Yeah.
Us too.
Ms. Bauer?
I'm sending a link to your phone. It's something I think you should see. Your daughter's in the company of our operatives. Put this call on your earpiece and keep the line open. I'm going to be listening to everything you say. You will help Tony Almeida escape, or my people will murder your daughter.
The following takes place between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m.
Okay. Thank you. The Deputy Attorney General is ready for you, ma'am.
Olivia Taylor appears worried.
Telepresence call is initiated. Network is secure. Go ahead.
Good morning, Ms. Taylor. Thank you for giving up your time for this investigation.
Of course.
Mrs. Rollins, Mr. Hawk, are from the Justice Department. They'll be conducting your interview. Let the record show that this is to be the testimony of Olivia Taylor, acting White House Chief of Staff, regarding the homicide of federal witness Jonas Hodges. Let it also show that I'm present to ensure that strict protocols be followed for Ms. Taylor's protection.
Why would I need protecting?
Poor choice of words. I merely meant that your questioning is just a formality. We have to go through everyone who had knowledge of Hodges' whereabouts up until the time of the car bombing.
I see.
Mrs. Rollins, you have the floor. Let's begin.
President Taylor walks through the White House with Tim Woods.
I wanted Olivia in this briefing. Where is she?
I'm sorry, ma'am, but she's tied up with the deputy AG and investigators looking into the Hodges murder.
Have they made any progress on who leaked Hodges' location?
Not yet, but they agree that the list of people who knew Hodges was alive and at FBI is short. The leak had to come from inside.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Madam President.
Please take your seats. I realize that we are all in dire need of sleep, but I felt that it was vital to bring you all up to speed on the events of the past few hours and a greater crisis we face on the horizon. Less than 30 minutes ago, the FBI managed to recover the last canister of the bioweapon, but I'm afraid that the danger is far from over. Before his death, Jonas Hodges told us that there were other parties involved with him in the creation of this bioweapon, a highly secret and extremely powerful group of private military firms collaborating to undermine the government of this country.
Excuse me, Madam President, but which military firms are we talking about?
We don't know, Admiral. Hodges gave us no names or idea of which companies are involved, but whoever they are, they represent a very real and ongoing threat. Now, we don't have much actionable intelligence at this point. However, the FBI has apprehended former CTU operative Tony Almeida. He is a key figure in this plot, someone we hope will be able to help us uncover who these people are.
Agent Walker, this is Air Support Bravo 3. We're in position. Your convoy is in sight.
Roger that, Bravo 3. After we'll be controlling traffic and setting up a secure corridor through the downtown area, we'll be bringing Almeida into headquarters through the west entrance.
It's almost time, Mr. Bauer. The convoy you're traveling with is about to get off on the I-70.
You'll need to break off before you reach the downtown exit, or you'll lose your chance to facilitate an escape for Tony. For your daughter's sake, you don't want that to happen.
Now listen carefully.
You'll need to commandeer the van and peel onto the Taft Street exit in about 4 miles. I'll direct you further once you've managed this. Remember, my operatives are with your daughter. suspect. I'm looking at her right now. So don't try to be a hero.
6:05. At the airport, Kim Bauer sits reading a magazine in the company of the couple she is unaware are the enemy operatives. She looks up.
Something wrong?
It's just starting to look like the flight is going to be full and I'm on standby.
No, no, you're going to get on. I mean, there have to be some people that are too spooked to fly after those planes went down yesterday.
Bob, did you have to bring that up?
I'm just saying. Look, I think it makes us safer. They're going to take extra precautions.
Excuse me. Are those yours?
Yeah, that's right.
Would you mind so my mother could sit down, please?
Oh, sure.
As the man moves his laptop, Kim spots a cut on his neck.
Oh, you're bleeding.
What?
You have a scratch on your neck.
Funny. Well, that must have happened when the door hit you getting out of the cab.
Oh, well, you know, I'll go to the newsstand and see if they have some band-aids.
Kim watches him go with mounting suspicion. 6:06. Tony's female colleague pulls to a halt in some kind of underpass. She gets out, looking around. She takes the call.
What is it?
I'm getting worried. It's only a matter of time before that FBI agent's body's discovered. And I think Bauer's daughter's getting suspicious.
Look, I gave Bauer a short window to deliver Tony to me. It won't be long. Just stand by until you hear from me.
Well, what if Kim Bauer makes us before that?
You can't allow yourselves to be taken. Do what you have to do.
The FBI van drives through the darkness. Jack sits in the rear, his earpiece in place. He casts a look at Tony, whose face remains impassive.
Agent Walker, let me see your comm unit. I want to adjust its frequency. It's interrupting mine. Thanks.
He disables her comms unit, then pulls his gun.
Don't move! Don't move!
Jack!
Just keep driving and no one gets hurt.
Both of you, I want you to slowly draw your weapons, put them on the floor and slide them to me.
Jack!
Do it!
Don't make this any harder than it already is. Give me your weapon, or I will kill him.
Come on, Jack, you're not gonna kill anyone.
Give me your weapon! Now!
He shoots the FBI operative in the foot.
Driver, I want you to handcuff yourself to the steering wheel. Over and under, do it now!
The driver obeys.
You can exit the freeway when I tell you. Until then, I want you to maintain speed.
The van continues along the road, part of a convoy of FBI vehicles.
Now!
The van veers off down a slip road. The helicopter overflying them observes the untoward move.
Agent Walker, what's happening? Agent Walker.
Calm. The prisoner transport is split from the convoy.
Renee, it's Janice. Do you read me? Renee.
Are you reading me? Agent Walker, what's your 20? Agent Walker, please respond.
Jack, why?
I've got my daughter.
That's not possible. I deployed Agent Franks to watch over her like you asked.
Agent Franks is dead. The people that are working with Tony have operatives with Kim right now.
Jack!
They've threatened to kill her if I don't break them out.
Jack, that's enough!
You son of a bitch.
Okay, we're on task. What now?
You'll see the entrance to the Connecticut Avenue tunnel. Take the north lane.
Continue down this street. Go towards the tunnel. North.
Aerial Bravo 3, do you still have a visual?
Affirmative. The followed vehicles in the convoy are getting off the next exit and will be doubling back.
We got prisoner transport on satellite. They're heading west on Hudson.
Wait. They're pulling into the Connecticut Avenue tunnel. I'm losing visual. Repeat. I am losing visual.
Pull up the transponder locators.
Yep.
Okay, we're in the tunnel.
You'll see me parked in the emergency lane about a quarter mile in.
Okay, I want you to pull behind that SUV.
The driver pulls in. Tony's female colleague approaches the van.
Jack, please, I understand your reasons, but you can't do this.
No, what I can't do is risk Kim's life. Uncuff Tony.
him.
They have a camera on Kim. I don't trust Tony to let her go, please. I am begging you. Do whatever you have to save her, please.
Jack. The gun.
Jack hands it over and then sits.
Cover yourself.
Renee looks on disdainfully as Tony jumps out from the rear of the van.
Come on.
Jack gets out with Tony.
What are you bringing to Bauer for?
Tony, I've done everything you've asked. Just let Kim go. Let her go.
Get in the car.
So what are you doing, Tony? We don't need a hostage, okay? Especially not him. Shoot him already and let's get out of here.
You're not seeing the big picture, Kara. Your people are going to be able to launch their biological attacks just as they originally planned.
How? We lost the canister. We don't have the pathogen anymore.
We have Jack. The pathogen's in his blood. It's in his organs. We'll be able to harvest everything we need from his body. Why do you think I had you put those operatives on Kim Bauer? Your people are still going to need proof that Jack's viable. Have one of your biochemists meet us at the complex.
Kara smiles at Tony's cunning and then walks around to get in the driver's seat. They pull away with Jack sitting in the rear of the vehicle. 6:11, end of part one.
Let's begin with the confidential document on the left-hand side of the packet. Take a moment to look that over.
Thank you again for coming.
You can thank me, Agent Pierce, by telling me what this is all about.
All right, sir, but we don't have much time.
You implied it had something to do with Olivia Taylor?
Yes, sir. A few hours ago, Jonas Hodges was killed outside FBI headquarters.
My God.
Now, authorities believe he was murdered to keep him from implicating others who were involved in the bioweapon attacks. But I suspect there may be another scenario. And I have reason to believe that Miss Taylor might be involved.
That is an outrageous accusation, Agent Pierce. Olivia's capable of many things, but I can't believe committing murder is one of them.
Mr. Kanan, please just hear me out. After the president agreed to a witness protection deal for Hodges, Miss Taylor made a comment to me about wanting to see Hodges dead.
He was responsible for her brother's death. She was venting.
I thought so, too, until she met in her office with an old colleague of hers, a man named Martin Collier.
I know Collier.
Then you know the sort of man he is.
I do. But none of this constitutes proof of complicity.
No, sir. That's why I need you to access the digital recording system to see if their conversation was recorded.
Agent, you're asking me to break into an office that's no longer mine and access classified recordings of the acting chief of staff.
Mr. Kanan, if my suspicions prove correct, you, of all people, understand how grave these consequences would be. Sir, Miss Taylor's behavior over the past several hours has been erratic at best. Now, she's with the Justice Department investigators now, and we don't have much time. Sir, I need you to decide if you're going to help me.
Kanan agonizes. He then turns towards Pierce and nods unwillingly. Pierce unlocks the door to the office. Kanan crosses to a concealed panel and presses some buttons. Olivia's interview continues.
If you could just, again, review the records on the screen below, Miss Taylor, I want to confirm that during the timeline in question, you had no outside contact other than what's reflected in the phone and internet logs you uploaded to us.
For the third time, that's correct.
We're just trying to be thorough, ma'am.
I think we've taken up enough of your valuable time, Miss Taylor. Thank you for indulging us.
You're welcome. Good luck with the rest of the investigation.
The official in the room turns off the video conferencing equipment. Olivia breathes nervously. She gets up and leaves. She walks through the West Wing. Pierce picks something up on his earpiece.
Sir, she's on her way.
As Kanan hurriedly removes the disc from the recording equipment, Aaron Pierce goes out to intercept Olivia.
Miss Taylor, I tried to get word to you, but was told you were not to be disturbed.
Word to me about what?
Let me explain.
Morning, Olivia.
Ethan. What are you doing here?
I'd forgotten some files when I cleared out my office, so Secret Service was kind enough to admit me so I could retrieve them.
May I see them?
Nothing terribly important, but I like to fully archive my memos for posterity, you understand.
So you have what you came for?
I think so.
Well, then if you'll excuse me.
Of course.
Kanan smiles as naturally as he can manage and heads out of the door. Olivia's expression is suspicious and resentful.
Agent Pierce, stay a moment, please. What was he doing here?
Ma'am?
Kanan, did you observe him while he was in my office?
Is something wrong, ma'am?
Yes. Yes, something is wrong. No one, and I mean no one, is to be allowed in my office without...
She suddenly spots the frame covering the recording equipment, which Kanan has left partially open. She crosses slowly to it. Swinging it open, she discovers the bank of high-tech machinery.
Miss Taylor, could I get someone on staff to help you with that?
She casts Aaron a look of panic and paranoia. She stares aghast at the equipment. She presses her thumb to the electronic lock. Receiving a red signal, she scrabbles at the cover, but in vain. She crosses to her desk and picks up the phone.
Miss Taylor.
Security? This is Olivia Taylor. Ethan Kanan is on his way out of the White House. I want him taken into custody. Detain him until I arrive.
Ma'am, what's happened?
He stole my property, Aaron.
Sir?
6:22. Kanan leaves the White House.
Mr. Kanan! Mr. Kanan!
Yes?
We have orders to detain you, sir.
Orders from whom?
From the acting chief of staff, sir. Please come with us. Sir.
Kanan comes out of his reverie and follows the agent back inside. In the underpass.
Command, this is Walker.
Janice, do you read me?
I'm here. Are you all right?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Jack commandeered the transport. He was forced into helping Tony escape.
Renee, it's Chloe. What do you mean, forced?
The group Almeida's working for threatened to kill Kim Bauer if he didn't cooperate.
They have Kim?
According to Jack, they have operatives with her now at the airport, but I don't think she's aware of that.
Do you want me to contact airport PD?
No, we can't move on these people until we know who they are. Chloe, I need you to patch me in directly to Kim's departure gate. She's at gate 7.
I'm on it.
I'll brief the White House and let them know what's happened.
Okay, I'll call you back when I'm on my way.
So I have a priority 1 emergency call from FBI. Please connect me with an agent at gate 7.
Attention passengers for flight 147 nonstop to Los Angeles. Maintenance crews have finished preparing the aircraft, and we should be ready to begin boarding in approximately 10 minutes. Thank you again for your patience. With the following standby ticket holders, please report to the ticket agent counter. Marissa Boyle, Kim Bauer, Robert Layton.
Well, looks like I got on the flight.
Told you you would.
Kim responds to the call and heads towards the ticket desk under the watchful eye of the woman of the couple. An official has a word in the ear of the check-in assistant, who steps out from behind the desk.
Kim Bauer?
Yeah.
I'll take you over here.
Okay.
Phone call for you.
Hello?
Kim, this is Renee Walker. Listen carefully. Try not to react and do not look around. You're in danger. You're being watched by operatives sent by Tony Almeida.
Tony, I don't understand.
He's involved with the people responsible for the attacks. We had him in custody, but he used you as leverage to force your father to break him out.
I don't believe that Tony would do something like that.
He's on the run, Kim. He's taken your father hostage. You've got to trust me on this. I'm on my way with the team to you now, but we have to ID the people who are watching you. They're our only lead to finding your father and Tony.
There was a man that was staring at me earlier, but I haven't seen him in a while.
Describe him.
Oh, he was Hispanic, medium build. He had short brown hair. He was wearing a suit.
That was Agent Franks. Your father had me deploy him to the airport to make sure you got on the plane safely.
He was killed by the people following you. Listen, Kim,
whoever these operatives are, they're in close proximity to you.
Your father told me they sent him a live feed to prove they had you in their sights.
Have you noticed anyone with a camera or a cell phone?
Or a laptop?
What?
There's a couple that I've been talking to. They're sitting right next to me. The man has an open laptop right in front of me.
Can you give me a description?
Yeah, he's got long hair. He's tall.
Kim?
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Okay.
Kim, what's wrong?
Thank you. Please let baggage claim know that I will be much more careful next time.
Kim? Chloe,
do you read me?
I'm here.
The operatives may be moving on Kim. Alert
airport police. Have them lock down the terminal. Tell airport security to maintain patrols. Do nothing to arouse suspicion.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
We saw you were on the phone. We thought there might be a problem. You need some help?
No, there's no problem. I just left my electric toothbrush on in my luggage, so the airline called and said that they broke my lock.
Nice. Did you get your boarding pass?
Oh, yeah, it's right here.
6:25. Kim follows the man back to where the woman is seated.
There was a little security problem with your luggage.
I guess they can never be too careful.
The woman smiles conspiratorially at the man. Kim sits, forcing herself to remain calm. She looks around at the crowds of people.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. This is the first time that I've been apart from my little girl. I'm just a little anxious to get back to see her. Would you like to see a picture of her?
Sure.
Got one in here. Here it is. Yeah. Where is she here? Yeah, her name's Terry.
She's adorable.
Thank you.
She looks, look at her, so cute.
That's my husband, actually. This is, aww.
The man has stood up. The woman draws a knife.
Take her.
The man is clinically gunning down all the police and security officials in sight. The woman drags Kim away at knife point.
Code 2, suspects are armed!
Kim, with great presence of mind, pulls out a ballpoint pen and jabs it into the woman's leg. Security shoot the woman dead. The man continues firing, then sees the woman lying on the floor. A security guard shoots him in the leg. The wounded man makes a run for it, shooting as he goes. The man makes his getaway through a side door. Kim grabs her mobile phone and calls out.
Walker. It's Kim Bauer. Security's down. Where are the airport police?
They're mobilizing to you now. What about the operatives?
The woman is dead. The man is getting away.
Kim, we need him to find your father. What direction is he headed?
Agent Walker! Damn it!
Kim? Kim?
Kim's mobile battery has given up completely. She looks around and spots the door through which the man escaped. She runs towards it. 6:28, end of part 2. Part 3, 6:32. Olivia Taylor walks calmly down a corridor to a holding room in which sits Ethan Kanan.
Olivia?
I always liked that about you, Ethan. Even when I was a little girl, you always stood up when I came into the room.
Old habits die hard.
You removed something from my office. I want it back.
I told you before, you're welcome to them.
You know damn well I'm not talking about those files.
Do I?
Ethan, I found the digital recorder. Now give me what you took, or I'll order the security officers outside this door to strip search you.
All right, I do have a recording. It's a personal account of my last days in service to this administration, and I think I'm entitled to it.
No one is entitled to take sensitive material out of the White House.
Oh, now it's national security you're worried about.
As a matter of fact, yes.
Well, I still have my clearances. Why don't we listen to the recording together?
You're in no position to dictate terms, Ethan. You're in violation of at least 10 federal laws.
What are you so afraid of, Olivia? What's on there that's so incriminating?
I'm not the one facing incrimination. You are. But give me the recording right now, and I'll see to it no charges are filed. Last chance, Ethan.
They hold each other's gaze. Finally, she turns and gestures through the window in the door to the Secret Service man waiting outside.
Search him for a data card.
I'm being held without cause. I demand to speak to President Taylor.
It was the president who ordered his detention.
If that's true, I want to hear it from her directly.
Well, this is a criminal matter now. Considering her personal relationship with Mr. Kanan, the president doesn't deem it appropriate to intrude on the investigation.
Please stand up, Mr. Kanan. Arms up.
You're making a terrible mistake. Miss Taylor is grossly overstepping her authority.
The agent pulls from Kanan's pocket a tiny recording disc, which he holds out to Olivia.
Thank you, Agent. Process him out.
Come with me, Mr. Kanan.
Kanan haughtily brushes the agent away and goes to retrieve his briefcase. He turns to Olivia and steps close to her.
I don't think you understand the seriousness of what you're doing.
I don't think you do.
Kanan turns away disdainfully and leaves. 6:35, he is escorted away along the basement corridor. Olivia is left alone. She clutches the disc forcefully, trying to break it in her hands. By leaning it on the table, she succeeds in snapping it in two. She closes her eyes in blissful relief. Pierce intercepts Kanan's guard.
Agent Hobson, I can take him the rest of the way.
Fine.
She's definitely hiding something, Agent Pierce. Lucky for us, I'm a paranoid son of a bitch.
As Kanan is saluted out through the White House doorway, Pierce retrieves a recording disc from up his sleeve and slips it to him.
May I ask what was on the other data card?
Nothing. It's blank.
And I can try to get you into the communications office so you can listen to that.
Too risky and unnecessary. I have a companion device to the recorder in my car.
Yeah. It sounds like you were expecting this.
One has to be prepared when you're dealing with Olivia. I'll let you know what I find.
Pierce watches darkly as Kanan leaves. Tony's female colleague, Kara, drives the SUV up a ramp and into some kind of factory. 6:37. Waiting for them are two men in white coats and paper face masks. As the vehicle stops and Tony gets out, the pair walk across and drag Jack out from the back. Kara looks on dispassionately. The men take Jack by his elbows and walk him away down the aisle of a bleak warehouse. Jack's feet drag and he shakes his head as if succumbing to another attack. At the end of the aisle is a wide doorway draped over with polythene and lit from within by an eerie white glow.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
We're gonna use you to reconstitute the bioweapon, Jack.
Put him on the table, face down.
How long till we know?
It depends.
On what?
On the levels of pathogen in his spinal fluid.
Give me a time frame.
15 minutes.
Good, get started.
Tony! Tony! Go!
I got to give him something to control the seizure. I need him completely immobilized.
The two men in white coats hold Jack down on the operating table as the main guy crosses to fetch a hypodermic syringe. He injects Jack in the neck, causing him to instantly go limp.
There we go.
I'll contact the group as soon as we know if Bauer's viable.
Yeah, look, I need to talk to you first.
What is it?
I want a larger role in the organization, and I think this is a good time to make my case.
Tony, we've gone over this before, okay? It's not how it works. You don't ask in, you're invited in.
All right, then get me an invitation. Look, after what I've done today, I think I've earned it.
You have been resourceful, it's true. Still.
Look, I know you talked to the top guy. All I'm asking is that you get us in the same room together. I'll sell myself.
I don't think that would be the right approach.
Why not?
Because he's careful to a fault, Tony, and he's very protective of his anonymity.
I can appreciate that. But the bottom line is, without me, this operation never happens. Now, you have influence over him. He trusts you. You can convince him. I've seen you do it before.
This is different.
That's right. It is different. This time it's for me.
I'm ready to extract the spinal fluid. Hold his head still.
All right.
The medic approaches with a gigantic needle which he prepares to insert into the top of Jack's spine.
No, Olivia, he doesn't. Worst case, he has a suspicion. I mean, he never actually had the time to listen to the recording, did he?
No.
Okay, and he never will, because you destroyed the data card, right?
Of course.
Then we're fine, all right? So long as you keep thinking clearly and don't panic.
You're forgetting I ended this man's career, Martin. He won't let me off the hook, ever.
You're the president's daughter, okay? Trust me, no one will come after you without hard evidence, least of all Ethan Kanan.
Olivia.
I've got to go.
The president's been looking for you. She needs you in the Oval Office.
What's going on?
It's a situation unfolding at the airport involving Tony Almeida. We're about to be briefed, and she wants you in on it.
Okay.
Everything all right?
Yes. Fine.
Woods watches Riley as she goes. At the airport, Renee leads a group of agents into the scene of carnage in the lounge. Renee kneels by a fallen security guard.
Did you see which way he went?
It was chaos. There were people running everywhere.
Dennis, it's Renee.
Go ahead.
The male operative remains at large. Kim Bauer is missing. Either she went after him or she's a hostage. Issue a priority alert across all channels.
Kim peers from behind a pillar in a service area of the airport. The wounded man limps along some meters ahead. He turns and Kim ducks behind the pillar. He continues. She agonizes and then follows. He rounds a corner and spots two luggage handlers at work. As the luggage handlers move away, the man makes a break for it. Kim peers round a corner. The man discovers a staircase. He runs towards it. Kim follows. The man makes his way up the staircase. Kim hangs back at the bottom and then runs up the first flight. Rather than follow him up the next flight, she runs through a side door. She finds two policemen on guard.
Officer! My name is Kim Bauer. I followed the man that shot up the terminal. You need to contact Special Agent Renee Walker with the FBI.
6:47. The man gets into what appears to be his own car on the rooftop car park. He reverses at speed. A policeman approaches Renee with a walkie-talkie.
Kim Bauer.
Kim, it's Renee. Go ahead.
I've got him. He's in a self-parking garage.
Are you in visual contact?
No, he's on one of the upper levels. I'm at the exit.
Copy that. We're coming towards you.
Hurry!
The man drives at speed towards them, shooting at the police officers. Kim takes cover. The man is hit. He loses control of the car, which flips and crashes through the barrier and onto its roof. Kim goes to the aid of one of the fallen policemen.
Hang on. Help is on the way.
Seeing the flames beginning to get a hold on the stricken car, Kim runs across to it. In the rear lies the man's laptop. She hesitates a moment and then gingerly crawls far enough in to reach for it. As she gets a grip on the laptop, the man's hand grabs hers. He clings on with the last drops of his malevolent willpower. The flames begin to lick around Kim's arm. She pulls away just as the car is engulfed in flame, her own arm now ablaze. She sheds her jacket as Renee arrives.
Laptop has the camera that they were using to track me. With a D11 inverse router, we may be able to backtrace the signal to the people that have my father. I work at CTU, systems analyst. Is there anyone back at your office that can help us with this?
Yeah, I've got Chloe O'Brien standing by.
Get her on the phone.
6:49, end of part 3. Part 4, 6:54. Jack is still sedated on the operating table. Ethan Kanan arrives at his car. Stowing his briefcase in the boot, he casts a glance around and then goes to sit in the driver's seat. He pulls out a portable device and plugs it into his car sound system. He slots into it the memory card given him by Pierce.
Once this happens, once it goes through, you can never go back. You will live with it for the rest of your life.
I don't need a lecture on conscience from you, of all people. I have thought this through. What I can't live with is that monster getting away with this. He has to pay for what he did.
Tony Almeida walks into the makeshift operating theater.
The virus load is even higher than we hoped for. 10 plus in spinal fluid alone. Not enough to reconstitute the pathogen, of course. We'll still need his organs for that.
It doesn't look too good. How much longer does he have?
A couple of hours, give or take.
And what happens if he dies before we extract the pathogen?
Well, obviously it's optimal to keep the host alive, but the pathogen can survive up to 2 hours after death, sometimes even longer. In fact, the only sure way to destroy it is by exposure to extreme temperatures above 500 degrees Celsius.
Make sure you put that in your report.
I have, and I've already uploaded it to your computer.
Good. Get him ready to move.
Get the stretcher.
6:55.
Bauer is viable, but you'll need to secure a facility.
That won't be a problem.
As long as you're absolutely certain that we can accomplish this.
We've already done the hard part, Alan. And from what I understand, with the proper equipment, the actual extraction and
bioengineering is fairly straightforward.
Okay, Kara. I'll contact the others. Good work.
They should know they have Almeida to thank for this. He's the one who realized Bauer was a possible source.
Relay my gratitude?
I think you should consider going farther than that.
Farther? What did you have in mind?
Tony believes in what we're doing. He wants to play a larger role.
That sounds premature to me.
The thing is, Ellen, if we don't make a significant gesture, I'm afraid we may lose him.
I don't even know this man, Kara.
Then you should get to know him.
Are you suggesting I meet with him?
Look, all I'm saying is that he would be a very useful voice in the mix. His field experience fills a knowledge gap in regards to our logistics and planning.
Well, coming from you, that's a hell of a recommendation.
There's no one better, Alan. And it's not as if you haven't vetted every other member of the group.
Maybe it is time that he and I met. I could be there, where you are, in the next half hour.
You're coming here?
I think it would be a good idea if I supervised Bauer's transfer myself. Make the others feel at ease, don't you think? But Kara, I'll look Almeida in the eye. And if for any reason I don't like what I see, you understand? I can't let him walk out of that meeting alive.
I understand.
Kara smiles at Tony and walks across to him.
He wants to meet you. He'll be here in a little while.
Thank you.
Tony takes her hand.
It's up to you now.
As she leaves, Tony casts her an ambivalent look.
Wheel the gurney closer.
The men in white coats ready their instruments to operate on Jack, who lies seemingly unconscious on the table. Jack leaps into action, grabbing one of the scalpels and violently dispatching the two assistants. He catches the fleeing medic and gets his still handcuffed arms around his neck and brings him to the ground with a crunch. Jack gets slightly unsteadily to his feet. He pushes through the polythene curtain of the makeshift operating theatre. He cautiously rounds a corner. Wincing in pain, he hobbles through the warehouse. He makes for a door and pushes against the lock bar. He looks around in the early morning light. Aaron Pierce and Olivia Taylor both wait nervously. Tony and Kara run to the operating theatre.
Son of a bitch. He's gone. Come on!
Tony and Kara pursue Jack, following the route he took to get outside, weapons at the ready.
He's too weak to have gotten very far. Cover the north exit. I'll go this way.
7 a.m., the end.